Now is the time for us to be exhorted from the word of God, which we now look to Brother Peter for.
Good morning, brothers and sisters. It's good to be with you this morning. Could you please come with me first to our second reading for today, that of Proverbs and chapter 4. Because here in Proverbs chapter 4, Solomon is giving the children of Israel those proverbs, those commandments of how to live their lives. And of course, we know that the peaceful reign of Solomon is a great type of the kingdom to come, isn't it? And so the lessons and teachings contained within the book of Proverbs are there for ourselves as well, to help us in our own lives as we walk towards God's kingdom. And within the fourth chapter of Proverbs, Solomon time and again mentions a key theme which I'd like to base our exhortation on this morning. So Proverbs chapter 4, and reading from verse 1, we read, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live." And so the children of Israel were exhorted and commanded to keep the commandments of God and to keep his commandments, and they could live. And of course we know that the Lord Jesus Christ was his father's son. He was the only beloved of his father. And he has exhorted us and commanded us to follow his words as well, that we might live in that future kingdom to come, that we might have eternal life. And this theme of keeping the commandments, or keeping wisdom and instruction and living, continues throughout the rest of this chapter. For example, if you have a look at verse 5 and 6, "Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee." And again in verse 10, "Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many." And so they're exhorted time and again to keep the commandments of God, keep wisdom and instruction, that they might live. Of course, this wasn't something new at this time. Just keep a finger here and come back to Deuteronomy in chapter 6. Deuteronomy in chapter 6, as the children of Israel are preparing to go into that promised land, as Moses recounts the law to them, in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 1, we read, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes and the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son, and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life. And the result was that thy days may be prolonged." So if they were to keep God's commandments, if they were to keep those things which he has instructed them to do, then God promised them that their days would be prolonged in the land. And of course, that's what we want, isn't it, brethren and sisters? We want our days to be prolonged in that promised land, in that kingdom to come. We want our days to be prolonged where we can live with the Lord Jesus Christ and to praise God. But we know throughout the history of Israel, don't we, that they failed to keep the commandments of God. We read many occasions when they broke God's commandments and failed to follow him. And when they did, they went into captivity, didn't they? We only have to think of the judges, the time of the judges, and then when they went into captivity into Assyria, into Babylon, and then into captivity by the Romans. And so there's lessons there for us, that we have to ensure that we do not follow their example, but try and keep the commandments of God in our own lives, that our lives, that our days may be prolonged in that promised land, in that kingdom to come. But come forward to our third reading for today, Luke chapter 18. Because in Luke chapter 18 and verse 18, we see that Jesus, in his ministry, is asked a question. What, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And this question Jesus is asked on two occasions throughout his ministry. And I'd like to have a look at what the Lord Jesus Christ responds to that, because Jesus picks up on those things we've just seen in Proverbs and Deuteronomy, but expands it to not just doing the commandments of God. So Luke 18, and verse 18, a certain ruler asked Jesus, saying, "Good Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And we see here immediately how the rulers of the day had got it wrong, hadn't they? They thought that they could do something to inherit eternal life. They thought that if they did things, if they undertook the right actions, that they could earn eternal life for themselves. But we know, don't we, from Romans, that eternal life is a gift from God. It's a gift. It's something that we can't earn. But come forward to Romans in chapter 5. Because in Romans chapter 5, when the Apostle Paul is speaking about eternal life and how the Lord Jesus Christ has given us this hope, in Romans chapter 5 and from verse 15, he's very, very keen to ensure that the point is emphasized that it is a gift from God. Romans 5, verse 15, "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it were by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offences unto justification. For if by one man's offence death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offence of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life." The apostle is very eager to ensure that it's emphasised that it is a gift from God. It's not something that we can earn in our own lives. And we have to ensure we don't enter into that same tick box exercise that the Pharisees, the religious rulers of Christ's day, had entered into, to ensure that they did the commandments and just followed the letter of the law rather than the spirit of it. But come back to Luke chapter 18. Because in Luke chapter 18, the Lord Jesus Christ goes on to teach this certain ruler what he needed to do, what attitude he needed to show if he wished to inherit eternal life, if he wished to be given that gift of eternal life. And of course, that's what we want, isn't it, brothers and sisters? We want at the judgment seat to be granted that gift of eternal life. Surely that should be our main aim in life, is to ensure that we are following the Lord Jesus Christ so that we can be granted that gift of eternal life, that we can live in God's kingdom forever and praise and glorify God's name for eternity. So what does the Lord Jesus Christ respond to this young man saying? Verse 20, "Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honour thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up." So the Lord Jesus Christ starts in the place where this certain ruler would have been comfortable back in, from those commandments back in Deuteronomy. He starts in a place where he knew about the law. He starts in a place where he was comfortable. And he tells him that he has to keep these commandments, and this certain lawyer is happy that he has done that, that he has kept those commandments of God. But we know, don't we, that the Lord Jesus Christ here only picks out a number of those 10 commandments and does not mention all of them. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ deliberately omits those to do with God, doesn't he? And he omits those to do with seeking God first and not coveting after the things of this world. And we see also how that these commandments which the Lord Jesus Christ lists here are, you could say, those that others can see whether you have kept or not. They're not those ones which are to do with following the Lord God, where people can't really tell whether you are following those commandments or not, but it's within your heart. Whereas these commandments here are those which people can see whether you are following or not. But verse 22, when Jesus heard these things, so when Jesus had heard that the man said, I've kept these commandments, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And so this was the problem for this certain ruler. He had possessions which were standing in his way to enter into the kingdom of God. It was clear that his priorities in life was to do with the riches that he could gain rather than following the kingdom of and following Jesus to try and enter that kingdom of God. The riches in his life were more important to him. And what are our priorities in life? What is more important to us in our own lives? It's very easy in the world in which we live, isn't it, to seek after material wealth and to want various items. The world consistently tries to persuade us to have various things, whatever it may be, as it will make our lives better and it will make our lives more worthwhile. But we need to ensure that our priorities in life are putting God first, seeking first the kingdom of God, and not seeking those things of this world. And verse 28, after Jesus has spoken to this certain ruler, Peter responds in verse 28 and says, lo, we have left all and followed thee. Peter understood that it was about priorities. We know that at one stage Jesus healed Peter's wife's mother. And obviously Peter hasn't left everything in his life, but he was willing to follow the Lord Jesus Christ first in his life. His priority was to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus responds in verse 29. He said unto him, verily I say unto you, there is no man that have left house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come life everlasting. And so he lists these things which, if people have left in their lives, if people are willing to leave in their lives, that by doing so in the world to come, they will be able to have everlasting life. And the things which he lists are family, friends, possessions, aren't they? In Mark's account, he adds in lands. He has left house or parents, brethren, wife, children, lands for the kingdom of God's sake. And so, brethren and sisters, what would we be willing to leave behind in our lives for the kingdom of God's sake? If a situation occurs in our lives, what would we be willing to leave behind in order to continue to seek after God and to seek after his kingdom? Because here the Lord Jesus Christ says that we must be willing to leave everything behind, that we must put God first in our lives, and we must be willing to leave behind all our possessions and, if need be, our family or friends in order to follow after that kingdom of God. Of course, all personal situations, aren't they? But what would we be willing to leave behind? Because in verse 30, those who do, in the world to come, might have everlasting life. And that's what we seek for. So are we willing to leave everything behind? Just come forward to Philippians and chapter 3. In Philippians in chapter 3, the Apostle Paul, speaking to the Philippians in verse 4, says, though I might also have the confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the ecclesia, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. So Paul had a lot of things going for him in his life. He had connections in high places, you could say. He was a Pharisee, one of the religious rulers of the day. And according to the law, he had done those things which he needed to do. Like that certain ruler we saw in Luke chapter 18. He had followed the letter of the law. But verse 7, But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. And the Apostle Paul was willing to leave everything behind, wasn't he, in order to follow the Lord Jesus. He put behind him his previous lifestyle. He put behind him all those things which he had in this life in order to gain Christ. Of course, there's a question we have to ask ourselves about what we would be willing to leave behind. But of course, God doesn't just ask us to leave everything behind and give us no support, does he? Come back to Luke in chapter 18. Because in Luke chapter 18, verse 30, that those who have left behind, those who have had to leave friends, family or possessions, in verse 30, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. So not only is there this promise of life everlasting for those who seek God in their heart, not only is there that hope that we can look forward to, but also there's manifold more in this present time. So what does that refer to? Well, surely, brethren and sisters, it refers to the ecclesial family which we join, doesn't it? Although we might have to leave behind some things in our lives, although we might have to make changes and sacrifices in our lives, the Lord God has given us support within the ecclesias that we are in, hasn't he? He has given us our brethren and sisters to help and support us in our walk towards God's kingdom before that world to come. He has given us that support in the shape of our brethren and sisters, wherever they are around the world. And of course, we have that greater family, not only with our brethren and sisters, but with God as our Father. And of course, with the possessions which we have to come are far greater than those which we have now. And so when we might have these situations in our lives where we may have to think about making certain sacrifices, whatever they are, whether it's connections or jobs, friendships or possessions, whatever they are, we know that we have some greater things to come, and we have that spiritual family around us to help and assist us in our walk to God's kingdom. In 2 Corinthians and chapter 4, in fact, come forward to 2 Corinthians and chapter 4. And the last couple of verses we read in verse 17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Those things which we have now, those things which we might have to make sacrifices, those things which we might have to give up in our lives now are only temporal anyway. And they all come to an end at some stage or other. But the things that we look forward to, the things which we must make sacrifices for, that kingdom of God which we look for, is eternal. And so that must be the things which we are seeking for in our lives. And so I mentioned that this question, what should I do to inherit eternal life? It comes twice within the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first occasion is actually back in Luke chapter 10. And in Luke chapter 10, when the Lord Jesus Christ is asked this same question, the Lord Jesus Christ gives a different response, or slightly different response to the lawyer this time, who asks him this question. So Luke chapter 10, verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? So again, the same question is asked, and again we see the attitude of the lawyer of wanting to do something physical in order to earn eternal life. But verse 26, the Lord Jesus Christ says unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbour as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. So this time the Lord Jesus Christ gets the lawyer to answer his own question, and we see that these two commandments are given in verse 27, of loving the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, with all our mind, and our neighbour as ourself. And of course, if we are loving God with all of our heart, then there is no room for anything else, is there? There is no room for other priorities in our lives. But we must be seeking God with our whole heart, with everything that we do must be to seek God and to follow his commandments. And in doing so, in verse 28, do these things and thou shalt live. Again, by doing these things, we can have that hope of eternal life. And of course, the second commandment is to love thy neighbour as thyself. And Jesus goes on to explain who is our neighbour in the parable of the Good Samaritan, doesn't he? And of course, brother and sister, it's very easy in our own lives to love ourselves, isn't it? It's very easy to do things for our own self, but it's much more difficult to do stuff for other people. So often we are selfish, aren't we, by our nature, and we are not willing to help others. But we are told that we need to love our neighbour as ourselves. We need to love everyone we encounter, but surely especially our brethren and sisters. If we have entered into this family of our brethren and sisters, we must be helping and looking out for one another, mustn't we? As a natural family looks out and helps one another, so we must be helping and assisting our brethren and sisters as we walk together towards God's kingdom. Of course, this morning we have come to remember of our Lord Jesus Christ, haven't we? The Lord Jesus Christ who fulfilled these commandments all the time throughout his life. Come forward to John chapter 8 briefly. Because in John chapter 8, in verse 29, the Lord Jesus Christ is able to say, partway through the verse, "For I do always those things that please him." Actually, sorry, if we read from the beginning of verse 29, "He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." He did always those things that pleased his Father. He was loving his Father. He was loving his God with his whole heart, wasn't he? There was no room for anything else in his life, but he did always those things that please him. And of course we know that the Lord Jesus Christ had nowhere to lay his head. He did not seek after those worldly possessions, did he? But instead sought after his God in his life. He did not care about the wealth which he could gain in this world, but was focused on teaching the people about the love which God has shown to us. And of course, the Lord Jesus Christ showed that loved his neighbour as himself in a far greater way than we ever can, didn't he? Come forward to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 12. "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." So again, the Lord Jesus Christ says that we have got to love one another, but we are to love one another as I have loved you. "And greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I commanded you." And we come this morning to remember that love which the Lord Jesus Christ has shown to us. He was willing to lay down his life for us, that we might have hope of life. And we are exhorted that we must love one another as he has loved us. We must try to reciprocate that love which he has shown to us, to our brethren and sisters in our walk towards God's kingdom. And in doing so, there is no room to be selfish, is there? There is no room to want to love our own selves. But we must seek to help one another in our own lives. And come forward to, finally, to Romans and chapter 12. Because the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life as a sacrifice, didn't he, for us. He showed that love in that sacrifice, which when he laid down his life. And the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 exhorts us, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." So we must present our bodies a living sacrifice. We must be willing to give our whole life to God as we walk towards his kingdom. There can be no room for seeking after anything else in our lives, can there, brothers and sisters? But we must be presenting our bodies a living sacrifice, separate or holy, acceptable unto God. And he then goes on to explain what that entails in the rest of this chapter. And verse 10, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honour preferring one another." And so we have to show that brotherly love to one another, that same love which the Lord Jesus Christ has shown to us. We must try to reciprocate that in our lives to our brethren and sisters, showing them that love which the Lord Jesus Christ has shown us. And so we come now to remember the Lord Jesus Christ, to remember that love which he has shown to us. To remember that it is only through his death and his resurrection that we can have that hope of eternal life in that kingdom to come. We've seen this morning how that if we want to have that, if we want to be granted that gift of eternal life, then we need to reciprocate that love to our brethren and sisters. We need to seek after our God with our whole heart, to seek after our God with our entire being, to give our lives over to God, to seek him, to seek first that kingdom of God whilst we walk towards his kingdom.